Very pleasant this morning, 66 degrees in Danville, 66 in Salem and Roanoke, 64 in Bedford, 63 in Lynchburg.
I'm so privileged to have Kyle Petty on the line with us right now on the Morning Jam. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
So good to have you. You guys are making your way to the D-Day Memorial today in your charity ride. Let's talk about that and you know, where you're at right now and what time you expect to arrive.
We're over, we're still in Hot Springs. We're over at the Omni. We're going to leave here, I think we leave here about 9 or so.
Okay.
9 or 9:30, right along in there. We should be over at the D-Day Memorial about 11:30, 11:45. We're going to stay 2 or 3 hours.
Yep.
And it is just a fantastic place. So we're excited to come there, excited to be there. And all our riders are just, they're ready to come, man. They're ready to go be there.
Good. Well, that's awesome. Who's coming along? I think we have a couple celebrities. I think you all are celebrities across the board. But some notables, I believe your father is coming today and one of your cohorts that broadcasts on NBC.
Yes, Rick Allen, who is the voice of NASCAR on NBC, calls the races every week. My dad's with us, Richard Petty. Harry Gannon's with us. He'll be coming, and David Reagan, David won the 4th of July race and some of that stuff at Daytona, so yeah. David's been racing forever, so and we might have a surprise guest or two. We'll just see if they show up this morning. I'm not sure. When it's a little cloudy here. I don't know what it's like over there, so it might get a little damp at some point in time, but it's not going to rain all day, so
right.
Some people were willing to ride, Some people want to set in the dry, so we're going to see how it goes.
So this ride typically runs from California to North Carolina, if I'm not mistaken, and you had to shorten it for some obvious reasons. Tell us how far the total ride will be this year, and then we'll get into why you guys even get on the bikes and do this.
Yeah, the total ride this year is we are doing something totally different, because our big ride, as you say, we've gone Maine to Miami, we've gone... You know, our 25th anniversary ride, we went Seattle, Washington, to Key Largo, Florida.
Wow!
So we came across at an angle. So, you know, we've gone a little bit of everything. This year, we decided we would just putting everybody back together, just mm-hmm. bringing all the riders back together in one place. We chose the Homestead, the Omni Homestead over in the Hot Springs. We're coming out to Bedford, mm-hmm. And then going back. Tomorrow we go up to Seneca Rocks, and then we come back, and then the third day we go over to the New River Gorge Bridge, and then we come back. So it's only about a 600-mile total ride. It's about 100 miles out, 100 miles back every day. That's kind of what we plan, because really this ride for us was about getting everybody back together, raising mm-hmm. some funds for Victory Junction,
yeah.
And just spending time as a group, spending time as the riders, because we've done it for 25 years, and we had so many people that have become a part of the charity ride family, so that was important for us to get back together.
Yeah, let's talk about Victory Junction and how it all came about through a tragedy, and out of that tragedy has come so many stories. I've heard other interviews that you've done where you've talked about some of these young people connecting and being lifetime friends. So let's talk about how it started and where you've been.
Yeah, you know, Victory Junction is a camp for children with serious medical conditions and chronic medical conditions, and when I throw into that and life threatening, because it's asthma, it's diabetes, it's Crohn's, it's spina bifida. There's so many diseases and illnesses that these kids will fight their entire lives. And what we do, we bring kids to camp. It's totally free of charge, totally free of charge. That's why we're out here raising funds with the Kyle Petty Charity Ride. But we've seen almost 90,000 kids and their families through camp and through our REACH program that goes out to hospitals and touches these kids. And, you know, my oldest son, Adam, was killed in a racing accident in 2000. I'd been fortunate enough to visit a camp he and I had, and had been fortunate enough to drive some sports car races with Paul Newman. So Paul had built the hole-in-the-wall gang camps, and this is just an extension of a hole-in-the-wall gang camp. It's the same kind of camp. It's under their umbrella of serious fun, and you know, it is just a phenomenal place where kids come, and you know, you get a 7 or 8 year old kid, child that comes who has spina bifida, and maybe he only has ever met one or two other kids in his whole life that have spina bifida, and all of a sudden, here's a camp with 120 kids with spina bifida, and it just empowers these kids to know they're not alone in this world. They're not the only child with that illness. And they make friends that last forever, it seems like. It has been really, really, really amazing to watch these kids and watch their attitudes. And it's, I think for us, it brings you back to what's important. Mm. And cars riding around in circles and day-to-day life and things like that, we get aggravated sometimes. But these kids, they have life, and that puts everything in perspective.
Tell me what it's like for you, Kyle, and your dad, to help fulfill really a vision that your son Adam had.
You know, it's really pretty cool, honestly, because it's like, you know, my granddad raced, my dad raced, and I came along, and then Adam came along, but it seems like we raced for 50, 60, 70 years, and God's plan and the big plan was, hey, I'm going to let you guys drive race cars so people know who you are, and then you're going to build something and help other people.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the way it is. We've been able to use racing as a platform,
mm-hmm.
Because people know who my granddad was, and they know who my dad was.
Right.
And you know, they know who I am. So it's we're able to use that as a platform to help other people, and it is incredibly gratifying to be able to give stuff back.
We're going to get to NASCAR here in just a second, but I want to give you the opportunity, Kyle, to let people know how they could give to this organization, this outreach to so many hurting kids.
Yeah, you can listen. You know, obviously, we're here for the Kyle Petty Charity Ride, and if you can go to kylepettycharityride.com, follow us on KP Charity Ride on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And there's a million ways to donate, to be a part of the ride, and to help us send kids to camp. If you go straight to the camp website, if you know a child that can benefit from this camp and want to send them to camp, remember, it's free of charge, mm-hmm. totally free of charge to all parents and all kids. So you go to victoryjunction.org to find out more about camp and what camp's all about, and watch the videos, see how the kids do things. And if you know someone, please send them our way.
All right. They're going to be at the D-Day Memorial today from about 11:30 for about 2 to 3 hours. And there are quite a list of guests that Kyle has already talked about, with some surprise folks that may show up. We'll see what happens. Kyle, I have to, since I have you and I'm a huge NASCAR fan, tell me where you see, I know we just finished up Bristol, tell me where you see this next stage going and who you think is going to rise to the top. And then I want you to just give us a quick update on your dad's health.
You know what? I have no idea
okay.
The racing stuff is going. And that's the fascinating part about this year.
Yeah.
I think you have to, Kyle Larson is the guy.
Yeah.
He's just the guy right now. No matter what, it seems like he can run in the top two or three. But, you know, I think we saw some stuff lately with Denny Hamlin. I think we've seen some stuff with Chase Elliott.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the Hendrick cars have a lot of power. I was really surprised with Joey Logano, and pleasantly surprised with Joey Logano and Kevin Harvick on Saturday night at Bristol. But now we get back to the mile-and-a-half racetracks. Now we
right.
get back to what's really in the wheelhouse of the Toyotas and the Chevys, and that's going to be the telltale sign on which of those guys jump out. So, you know, you got to put Kyle Busch in there. You can never count Kyle Busch out. No matter what he says during an interview.
Right.
You can't count him out. So I don't think at 12, I don't think we've got it narrowed down. I think Kyle Larson is a guy that we pretty much feel is going to make it to Phoenix and have a shot at the championship. But listen, even being in it every day, it seems like it just keeps moving around. I can't figure that one. But my dad's doing good. He's 84 years old, and he'll be out riding a motorcycle today. So you got to say his health's pretty good, and he's doing pretty good if he's willing to jump on a motorcycle today at 84 years old and come ride. So and he's looking forward to going to the D-Day Memorial. I'm not sure he's ever been up there, and we just raved about it when we went back. So I think he's looking forward to seeing this.
You know, one of my most special memories of NASCAR, because I've been in and out of being a fan just because of life happens, you know. I mean, I remember stock cars as a kid watching Cale Yarborough and all those guys running with your dad. But I think one of the most special moments is when President Reagan, and you got to correct me on this if I'm wrong, because I'm 62 now, memory's not as best, but when I believe he called that race, that final race that your dad did, and he was, because Reagan was a broadcaster, what was that like for you guys to have the President of the United States doing that?
Yeah, you know what? That was a huge moment for us. Mm-hmm. Obviously, my dad wins this race. He wins his 200th race at Daytona, and President Reagan gives the command to start the engines, and he's there, and we all get together when the race is over with. But, you know, it was a big moment for the sport. When you look mm-hmm. at the sport and they look at big moments, they always flash those pictures up of Reagan in the press box with Ned Jarrett and my dad and Bill France Jr. and all those guys. So I think it pretty much, for a lot of people, it legitimized what this sport was.
Yeah.
Because so long it had been a Southeastern sport, you know, that you ran in Georgia and Virginia and mm-hmm. North Carolina and Alabama, and that was it.
Yeah.
That's all people really wanted to know about stock car racing. But mm-hmm. as soon as the president shows up, people in California are like, well, what's this thing they're doing with these cars out there on the East Coast? So it was it legitimized it in a lot of ways, and it was a big personal moment for our family.
Well, I want to be sensitive to your time. I know you have other interviews lined up. Kyle, maybe if we get a chance to have you on the air again, I'd love to talk to you about motorcycles. I mentioned with you before we went on the air that I used to race dirt bikes.
Yeah.
And I think you had an MX 125 Yamaha, if I'm not mistaken, at some point.
I was a Yamaha guy long many years ago.
And
I rode dirt bikes, I was definitely a Yamaha guy.
Yeah, I was KX 125 is what I started out with, and I ended on a KX 400, which is quite a difference in power. But anyways, be safe out there as you ride today and getting to Bedford, you, your father, and everyone else. God bless you for what you do. And I just got to say, you guys have a dual legacy running. And the legacy of your racing and the legacy of Victory Junction and both are worth taking a good look at. And we thank you for your time today.
Thank you for having me, man. I really appreciate it. And we'll be safe getting over there and hope everybody comes out and sees us.
Amen to that. Kyle Petty here on the Morning Jam. Wow, Janet.
You can die happy now.
I'm all goosebumped up here now. So just such a pleasure to...
It's like a little boy at Christmas.
Well, I mean, this is the guy that... He's one of the analysis commentators for NASCAR.
So did you know that Senior was going to be with him today?
Well, it was on the list that he was... But I'll tell you what surprised me is that Senior is still riding. He rides a trike, a big Harley trike.
Right.
And I didn't know he was actually going to be on the road today.
That's
awesome. Amazing.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, this is a once in a lifetime chance for maybe some folks. So hopefully they'll go out and make sure they've got a nice showing today.
I can die with a smile on my face.
I know.
Now.
You're just all but blushing.
And when I listen,
so cute.
When I listened to an interview with Kyle yesterday that he did just about 3 weeks ago, in my research, I didn't realize he was such a motorcycle enthusiast, riding dirt bikes. There's
If you look at his social media, that's what he's usually doing.
He's a bike guy.
Yeah.
And he said he actually almost got into racing motorcycles. That would have been a treat to see him on two wheels in some motocross. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb. Morning Jam, 6 to 9 a.m.
Well, Governor Northam says by July it could be legal to grow marijuana. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Turn on the Morning Jam with Janet and Mark.
I was so excited that Kyle Petty was going to be on the show. I forgot about the song.
Hey, it's September 21st.
It is.
There it is.
If you just caught part of our interview with Kyle, you can find it later on our SoundCloud page. And better yet is to try to go up there and see him today, mm-hmm. along with his dad and Rick Allen from NBC.
Yeah.
I may have to make my way up there. I don't know. I didn't come dressed. Did I come dressed to meet Kyle Petty? Got my Hawaiian shirt on.
You look like you always look. You've got
a Hawaiian
shirt. I've got Hawaiian
all the time.
Well, although your wife's not here to lay your clothes out this week.
I know. Well, she did do some travel, you know, ironing and getting me ready to look halfway decent. So
okay, very good. Hey, as promised, we are putting up the early voter registration information, all okay. that stuff, for each precinct. We've got Amherst up today, so we'll have that up on Facebook. We put up Bedford on Friday.
Okay.
And we're just wanting to make sure that people have the links to the places they need to go, and if you are doing early voting, you can do that now, starting now. So it's important to make sure that you vote. If there's anything that's going to keep you from voting the day of, go ahead and get that done and get it taken care of.
Okay.
And we're trying to give you all the information that you need in order to do that. I want to thank our listener, Jim, who sent in a photo. I did put it up on our Facebook page. It's a picture of Joe Biden
right.
with a balloon
uh-huh.
that says "The Morning Jam."
Oh, really?
And a cartoon bubble that says, "When I get in a jam, it's usually in the morning or midday or evening," or, you know, he's speaking to the UN.
Okay, I got to tell you, what if you were Jen Jen and you had influence over Joe? What would you tell him to talk to the world about today? Because he's got the world stage at the UN. What would you tell him to say?
It doesn't matter because he's not going to get it right. I mean, I would not be working for a Joe Biden. I just couldn't.
Right.
So it's impossible for me to even imagine.
Okay.
What I would say is get your together and stop this nonsense.
Oh, you'd say
get vaccinated.
What? No.
Well, because we're not allowed to talk about the obvious, because the buzzer goes off today.
Yeah, but there's so many things that he screwed up and that he's got wrong. I mean, and then he comes out and talks about how diplomacy's back and mm-hmm. stuff like that. It's just, it's ridiculous. If he gets up in front of the UN and starts acting like everything's fine
right.
and everything's under control and he's doing a great job, it's just going to tick more people off.
Do you think he's going to whisper?
I got them. $1.9 trillion released so far.
Probably. I swear he sounds like Dr. Brown on Back to the Future.
1.25 gigawatts. I got him. 1.25 gigawatts.
He whispered the last time he was talking.
Yeah.
It's very
He does
annoying.
That a lot.
I know.
I think it's creepy.
It is a little creepy.
And then there was that picture the other day of him like petting a dog, but with his other hand, he's got his hand on the thigh of a person that's holding the dog.
Yeah, see, I don't even think he knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
I think he's just...
Maybe he just needs to stabilize.
He's so far out there.
Okay.
Maybe. I just hope he doesn't do too much to embarrass us on the world stage any yeah. more than he already has.
Gotcha. So,
hey, earlier we were talking about how being grateful, because it's World
yes,
Gratitude Day...
It is.
...can improve your life and mm-hmm. make things better. Did you know that lifting weights has benefits that have nothing to do with building muscle?
It's funny you bring this topic up.
Okay.
Because just last night, I didn't know we'd be talking about this. Just last night, I lifted some weights for the first time. I mean, since my rehab, nine and a half years ago. About 9 years ago this time, I was still in at the tail end of my rehab after heart surgery. So you have to go and rebuild your strength because it knocks it out of you, really. So I lifted weights for the first time yesterday. Just did some curls with my wife's dumbbells, which I found very heavy. Yeah. Surprisingly.
Well, it's important to have a plan, not to just do it.
No,
you need a regimen, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to exercise for older adults, strength training trumps cardio. It preserves muscle. And that's more important than losing fat as you age.
Okay.
Every decade, starting in your mid-30s, you lose a percentage of muscle
yep.
that affects your metabolism,
yes.
your balance, your ability to brace yourself in the event of an injury. By weight training, you build more muscle to protect your body against injury.
Mm-hmm.
Ideally, at least twice a week, whether you lift free weights or use machines or do body weight exercises,
mm-hmm.
you'll get stronger and fitter. You can totally lift every day. Just make sure to do different body parts or train your body differently each day. And if you're wondering what muscle groups to focus on, that depends on what your goals are.
Right.
Trainers are important. They will help clients learn to focus on either upper body one day, lower body a couple of days later.
Right.
To get the most bang for your buck.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to building strength, lifting weights has a host of other benefits. You'll lose weight and burn more calories, get rid of belly fat.
Oh, boy.
Muscle tissue burns 7 to 10 calories per pound daily, while fat burns only 2 to 3.
This, I find that very interesting.
Mm-hmm. You'll protect your bones.
Yeah.
As you age, your bones become more brittle and weaker, especially ladies if you're postmenopausal, which is due to lower estrogen levels.
Right.
You'll manage stress, boost your mood. You'll improve your posture.
Mm-hmm.
You'll reduce back pain.
Wow.
You'll improve memory and brain health.
Now see, dang it, I need it just for that.
And you'll be better in tune with your body. So if you're thinking, if there's only one thing you're going to add.
Right.
You don't have to be a cardio bunny.
Right, right.
And free weights will do a lot.
Yeah, they will.
So lots and lots of benefits.
Well, I just consulted with
a
trainer nutritionist last week. And as soon as my wife gets back, she's already being trained and nutritioned already.
Yeah.
And like I said, I lifted her 20-pound dumbbells, which are actually about 25 with the little bar they're on.
And you're like, darn.
Yeah, darn, because I used to be able to curl 40s it was a strain, but I could curl 40s. I did one set of 20.
Yeah.
And
well, there's a lot of benefits to lifting weights that have nothing to do with even bulking. And ladies, you're not going to bulk up either. That's right. Another myth.
You're going to tone up. Right. 731.
64 degrees in Lynchburg, 64 in Bedford, 66 in Danville, 66 in Roanoke, 64 in Salem.
Awesome. Those of you that are just joining us, we had the opportunity to interview Kyle Petty just a little while ago. You'll be able to hear it up on
when
the
When he says we, he means him.
Well, I got to interview him, yes. Janet said, I'm just going to let you drool all over your microphone.
That's right. That falls under the know your role and shut your hole.
No.
I'm not going to pretend like I know things about racing that I don't know.
Yeah.
So
I gotcha.
It's important.
So driving race cars made Kyle Petty, along with his dad and his granddad, as we learned, a household name. And racing cars is a big deal, obviously, for the Petty family. But Kyle, if he really had to say it, and I've heard it in interviews, he says, I'm really a motorcycle guy. And when they started Victory Junction and they had the opportunity to figure out some ways to do a fundraiser, they started this across the country bike ride. One of the rides he wants to do, Janet, is from, I think he said Fairbanks all the way to Key West, which that would be a huge. They've done Seattle to Key Largo already in the past. But anyway, it's all here to be said that the charity Ride Across America has been shortened. They're actually coming from Homestead up to, and Hot Springs up to the Bedford area today. They're going to be at the D-Day Memorial around 11:45, stay for 2 or 3 hours. Kyle Petty, along with Rick Allen, who is the voice of NASCAR for NBC, and the king himself will be riding his Harley-Davidson trike up there, along with Harry Gant and others. He said there's going to be potentially a few surprise guests that show up today at the D-Day Memorial if they can make it. So if you have a chance to get up there today, now I'm changing my plans today. I was going to go home and rest. But I did sleep okay last night, so I think I'm headed up to the D-Day Memorial. I've sent a text out to one of my fellow NASCAR buddies and said, hey, let's go have lunch and then we'll go meet the king and his son and all that. So it's just funny. You've got the king of rock and roll, which is Elvis, and then you've got the king of NASCAR, which is Richard Petty.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty excited.
I know. Lynchburg motorists, you may still need to seek an alternate route this morning because of an incident that closed down part of Concord Turnpike a couple of hours ago. According to a tweet from the Lynchburg Department of Emergency Services, around 4:30, There was an incident in the 1800 block of Concord between Garnet Street and Winston Ridge Road, blocked off for all traffic. It is, they say the closure will be in place for an extended period of time. I just checked the notifications. Mm-hmm. They are not showing it cleared as of yet.
Oh, really? Okay. All right.
Seems like a pretty big incident. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, but... it was very light on details when I saw that breaking story.
Yeah, it still is.
This morning. So what is not light on details is how Liberty football is doing this year. Liberty remains just outside the top 25 ahead of their trip to Syracuse this weekend. For the second consecutive season, Liberty has improved to a 3.0. In other words, 3 wins, no losses. I got to see their win over Old Dominion on Saturday night. It was quite a game if you like to watch a lot of running and passing and these kinds of things. The top 25 coaches poll this week, inching ever closer. We'll hope and see. If they beat Syracuse, I believe they're going to get into the top 25, which is really, really big for Liberty University or any college for that, you know, for that matter. So go Flames this Friday against Syracuse.
On Saturday night, a teenage boy from North Carolina was shot and killed during the Danville, Pennsylvania County Fair in the parking lot of the fairgrounds. I have to tell you, when I did events, that was my greatest fear, was mm-hmm. that something like that, you know, would happen at something that I was... Now, this was in the parking lot.
Right.
Neighbors and friends confirmed that he was 16-year-old Josh Roan, and he was well known for playing football at Bartlett Yancey High School in North Carolina. And they said he was a pleasant kid, really focused on going to college and wanting to play ball. He had just recently improved a great deal character-wise, academically. He had newfound focus, they said. The neighbors say he was at the fair when a fight broke out. It continued in the parking lot and then turned into a fatal shooting.
Oh, boy.
He had been employed at Old Dutch Supermarket in Danville. Mm-hmm. The supermarket says he recently stopped working to focus on football, and they still don't have any progress in locating a suspect.
Yeah.
So that they're still just as lost as they were.
Yeah,
so
that's just...
Anyone with information is asked to contact the Pennsylvania County's Crime Stoppers, and you can remain anonymous mm-hmm. and still be eligible for the award.
Well, my thing is, so many reasons that people need to come forward. Number one, so justice can be served, so that the family can have some kind of a... You know, I know the word closure is used.
They don't get closure.
You know,
no.
But you do have a sense that at least
some justice was done.
And that can bring at least some people in the family, maybe some peace that the killer isn't still out there.
Well, and more importantly, that they're not going to do this to somebody else.
Right,
because they
exactly.
obviously have issues.
Yep.
It's just, you know, what on earth could happen at a fair,
I know,
that would justify that kind of stuff.
Right.
It's just crazy.
Yeah, it is. So Janet and I have committed, at least today, to not talking about...
It's very difficult.
Yeah, because the news is so heavy when it comes to what's happened the last 18 months. I can't say it, because if I do...
Well, this was your idea.
I get buzzed.
I think
it's okay to have a day off of talking about C-19, you know?
Okay.
So it's just been in the news so much lately. And yeah. I understand why, because it's affecting everything. But life has to go on. I mean, it has to. So there you go.
Yeah. Well, it would seem that Virginia was kind of unprepared to handle the unemployment spike mm-hmm. that we've had over the past year and a half. A new report found that the Virginia Employment Commission could have been better equipped to handle the large increase in jobless claims, and they were very slow to implement improvements. We've probably had more complaints about that.
Yeah.
than anything else. It seems like they were extremely inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
They overpaid some people.
Yeah.
They didn't pay some people at all.
And then they requested money back?
That they
didn't
pay.
We had that story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The report is acknowledging that the VEC was under a lot of stress as it tried to manage a tenfold increase. But with a long-awaited modernization project weeks away from launching, they raise significant concerns about the agency's ability to successfully complete the transition. I can understand that. I mean, if they can't get it done, I don't know. They say the backlogs are still building. That's hard to believe.
Yeah.
They haven't effectively responded to the increase during the pandemic. Uh-oh.
I didn't hit my button ready.
That's okay. Needing further reviews remaining significant. Well, I'm sorry. The people need to know
mm-hmm.
about this.
I understand.
They've been slow to increase the staff,
mm-hmm.
And they say they need a lot more oversight.
Okay.
I mean, this is just one of the fiascos of the government and the Commonwealth.
There's something
it's
about...
not good. The fact that it's still growing is disturbing.
Yeah. There's some story I saw yesterday about unemployment benefits. There's like a payback of some sort. Some may be required to pay some things back, and I'll find that story. And do I have to repay unemployment benefits if I'm overpaid? Yeah, well, that's a given. But there's something out there that I saw yesterday. Like I said, I'll try to find it. That would be ironic, wouldn't it?
It would. And, you know, a lot of people have been riding around and they've been, you know, kind of taking advantage of things to extend payments mm-hmm. or not make payments on things. I just read where the town of Alta Vista is going to resume shutting off utilities.
Right.
For people that have past due balances if they haven't set up a payment plan.
Okay.
I mean, it's set up a payment plan.
Right.
Take the initiative to set it up.
Send them $10.
Do something.
Right. If you do nothing,
you're going to keep getting in the hole and getting
yep.
in the hole.
And you come home and there won't be any water.
Right. Or, yeah. I mean, a lot of things. They say just set up a payment plan.
Mm-hmm.
So if you haven't set up a payment plan or you're not adhering to the terms of a payment plan, it's going to be utility service disconnections across the Commonwealth are able to resume now because the state of emergency has been lifted.
Yeah. Let me go back to overpayments, at least for benefits. The VEC is definitely going to get their money back one way or the other. They will use collection agencies, credit bureau, wage garnishments, attachments of bank accounts seizing income from tax refunds, and levy or sell your personal property. That's in the case of those that have been overpaid. And some people, they sort of laugh it off, Janet. Oh, look, they're giving me $200 more than I'm supposed to be getting.
Yeah, not funny.
It's not funny when it's going to be called, you know,
back. You got to pay it back. Mm-hmm.
And unless you banked it and sat there and collect your 0.01 interest on it, you know, it's going to come back to bite you in the shorts, as they say. You know, and I'm wearing shorts today, so I don't want to.
You are wearing shorts.
I've only claimed unemployment one time in my life, and believe it or not, I was 17 years old because I already had been in the workforce
for four years. I've never done it. I've never had to claim it.
My boss laid me off, and he encouraged me to go get it. I did it for, I think, a month because he found me. My first boss was amazing, Ray Roush. He found me another job at another cabinet shop. And but I did collect, I think, 2 unemployment checks because it was like biweekly. I mean, it was only for like $20, $25.
Right.
Because I was a kid, not making a lot.
Because when I went in 2008, when everything went mm-hmm. wonky.
Haywire, yeah.
Was it 2008? 2009?
Well, 2008, 2009. Okay. Yeah.
Well, when things got a little funky, I was leaving a nonprofit world.
Oh, okay.
And they don't pay unemployment.
Ah, so you couldn't even get anything. Yeah.
So it was weird, very weird. Hey, when we come back, we've got a new poll with Washington Post. It was released over the weekend, and it's showing a pretty tight race in Virginia. We'll take a look at that when we come back.
That sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we have a chance to turn the state red again?
According to the Washington Post, it's very likely.
Wow, that sounds awesome. It is 7:48. I was waiting because it's clicking off to the next minute. It's the Morning Jam. Hello on Taco Tuesday.
Before you fire up the coffee maker, turn on the Morning Jam with Janet and Mark. Mornings 6 to 9 a.m. Call Janet and Mark, 434-534-8500, or toll-free, 866-916-3776. Call the Morning Jam. The Morning Jam.
That's right. Ain't no mountain high enough. You can always get to us using those phone numbers. It worked for Kyle Busch. Oh, my God, did I just say that?
You did.
Kyle Petty. I knew I was going to do it. Thank God I didn't do it during the interview.
Yes.
Because Kyle Busch's name is thrown around a lot at my house. There's usually a four-letter word attached to it. I'm just saying, between me and my wife. She says, tell me who won the race, but if Kyle Busch won, I don't want to know. By default, she learns then who right. won the race.
Oh, dear.
Anyway.
Oh, haters going to hate. Shake it off, Kyle Busch. Shake it off. All right. So there is a new article that has come out. This was actually from NBC News,
right?
Talking about the upcoming gubernatorial race in Virginia.
Right.
They say it promises to be a close one due to the state's history and President Biden's declining standing.
Okay.
A Washington Post poll released over the weekend found Democratic nominee Terry McAuliffe leading Republican Glenn Youngkin by just 3 points.
Okay.
Among all registered voters, McAuliffe's advantage was a little bit higher.
Okay.
But the lead was much smaller among those that are you know, say
I'm just
they're
wondering.
Vote. 3 points is not a lot.
Yeah, it's not. Usually there's what, a 3 to 5 point margin of error. I was wondering how he was doing against unregistered voters that will vote.
Well, I don't know. There's no way to track that.
Yeah, I know.
McAuliffe's lead is smaller among likely voters than among registered, as I said. And going back to the 1970s, the party that controls the White House has lost this contest every time.
Interesting.
With the exception of when McAuliffe barely beat King Cuccinelli after Barack Obama.
Right. Yeah. Man, I wish we would have got Ken. I hope he can run for the Senate and win.
I like Cuccinelli.
I do too. I mean, he worked for Trump at the border. You know, I mean, he was Homeland Security stuff. And
the other warning sign for Dems in this poll is Biden's job rating, which reflects his national overall numbers in the low to mid 40s.
Right.
And they say it's a dangerous territory ahead of Virginia's race that's just 43 days away.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can vote. It opened up on Friday of last week. I think there's places in Richmond that there was a shutdown of early voting for a whole month. I don't know why it's going to take a month to get it fixed, but they said it would resume October 17th. So, but yeah.
So as far as his approval ratings, you got to remember, this poll was done prior to
the
Pentagon admitting its drone. No, I'm talking about Biden.
Oh, Biden. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
The Pentagon admitting its drone strike in Kabul that killed up to 10 innocent civilians.
Right.
Before the thousands of Haitians crossing into the U.S. border, even though some were later expelled.
Yes.
It was before France recalling its U.S. ambassadors over the submarine deal dispute.
Yep.
And before the FDA nixing approval for boosters for those older than 16 years of age, but approving them for seniors and those with high risk.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the legislative setbacks, the Senate rejecting using budget reconciliation to give undocumented immigrants a pathway to citizenship, the Axos report that Joe Manchin wants to delay any vote on reconciliation until 2022. We know why that's worded that way.
Yep.
And then Politico reports that Kyrsten Sinema won't support reconciliation of House Dems' delay or reject the 27th vote on September 27th on the bipartisan infrastructure deal.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you bring all those things up because they talked about this yesterday about Joe not being able to handle multiple crises. So
the chaos that Biden is experiencing right now is exactly what he campaigned against.
Right.
Right. So he was supposed to be the steady hand on the wheel, and he was going to be boring.
Right.
Especially on foreign policy, everything. Remember, he gave the speech on February 4th, America is back. Now we have this absolute mess in Afghanistan. We just showed you what's happening on the border. And our oldest ally, France, is calling us names that they used to reserve just for President Trump.
Exactly.
So things are not exactly going well. The best thing, I guess, for the Biden administration, when all of this came down, it was late on a Friday. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that the president wanted to right the ship by giving a speech on COVID boosters. And then it turns out that he put the cart in front of the horse. Mm-hmm. Ever heard that one?
I coined
and,
that.
Yes. And so now he's going to try to give a climate speech tomorrow.
Right.
In the meantime, all these other things are happening. But Biden's political erosion prevents the Democrats from taking it to the Republicans on the debt ceiling or for the Democrats to get any traction on its legislative agenda, which is completely falling apart before our eyes.
I love how you worked in a...
That just accents what you just said there, Janet. And the good thing is that all these things that are mucking up the works could hold up the $3.5 trillion.
Well, here's hoping it does.
Yeah, that's actually a good thing.
Because it's terrible.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't have any capital to burn because he burned his capital up when he had the failure in Afghanistan. And now you look at the border. I mean, that is a hot mess down there.
I mean,
there.
When you the what I was just sharing a minute ago.
Mm-hmm.
That was just last week.
Right, right. Yeah.
Just last week. We haven't covered the whole month.
Right.
Just last week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just crazy.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't know. So, beer drinkers, beware.
Okay.
The latest beer from Boston's brewer, Sam Adams.
Oh, no.
Bears a price tag of $240 per bottle. And bears another notable distinction. It's illegal in 15 states.
What? Is our state one of them?
Sam Adams said that probably not. Not with Northam. He's probably like, come on in. Bring me a free bottle. Yeah. Let's share it with all the children. I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know that he said that. I'm just saying. Sam Adams said the 12th version of the Utopias brand.
Okay.
Which is the which the brewery rolls out every 2 years, will roll out October 11th at a price of $240 for 25.4 ounces. The beverage contains 28% alcohol by volume, more than five times the average strength, making it illegal to sell in a variety of states, but not in Virginia.
Oh, wow.
Can't get it in West Virginia or North Carolina.
Right. Oh, you can?
You can't.
Oh, you can't. Well, I got to go to Maryland to get it?
No, you can get it in Virginia. You can get it in Virginia.
Oh, I misunderstood.
I said it's illegal to sell in lots of states, but not
Virginia.
Not ours.
Okay.
You can sell it in Virginia.
Okay.
So there you go.
Utopia.
Yes.
Okay.
$240. That's pretty
That's
pricey.
That's a lot of money, and I won't be buying it.
Yeah, it's pretty expensive.
I don't see me spending that much on anything when it comes to a bottle.
No.
Unless it had some peanut butter in it. Then maybe.
Peanut butter utopia?
Yeah. You're listening.